Thank you, Earlene and Jolinda. On May 2, 2004, Haley Waldman, an 8-year-old, received her first communion in a Catholic church. Haley suffers from celiac sprue disease, gluten intolerance. So her mom, Elizabeth, had asked her parish priest whether Haley could receive non-glutinous wafers for her first communion. Well, the priest said, no, we can't do that, because according to church canon law, there has to be some wheat in the communion wafer. Because her mom didn't want her to miss this significant event in her spiritual life, she looked around and found a priest in a neighborhood parish who was willing to serve her this non-glutinous wafer. But several months later, the Diocese of New Jersey called up the family and said that her communion was invalid, because according to church law, the body of Christ, which is celebrated in the wafer and the wine, had to have some wheat, because that was what Jesus had with his disciples before he died on the cross. See, in 1995, the Vatican allowed that you could have low-gluten wafer. So some nuns who were very creative were able to come up with a recipe for a wafer that had 0.001% gluten. But children like Haley, who suffers from serious celiac problems, cannot have any gluten. If she has some, she gets really sick right away. So Haley's mom tried to have the Diocese of Trenton change, make an exception in her case. I tried to find out what happened to Haley, but in 2012, there was another diocese in Cincinnati, Ohio, who went through the same problem, and again, the family was told that the child could not have non-glutinous wafer for communion. So Haley and her mom goes to church every Sunday and receives communion in a parish where the priest has agreed to give them non-glutinous wafer. But in the back of her mind, there is this letter from Vatican that says that her communion is invalid. Hard to believe that, isn't it? That today, the church has some laws that it thinks it must continue to uphold. I'm sure that when some scholar decided that the wafer must have some wheat, that he was trying to honor Christ, because Jesus said, remember me as you partake of these elements. But isn't it amazing that he forgot why Jesus made that in the first place? That the night Jesus gave us the institution of Holy Communion was the night that Jesus gave us the new covenant, new commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way they will know that you are my disciples. Here's a little girl wanting to follow Jesus. Yet the church breaks her heart. When I read this story, I remember the words of Jesus, which I consider to be one of the most challenging and maybe the most angry words of Jesus. In Matthew 18, Jesus, as he was talking about children, says these words, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. As for whoever causes these little ones who believe in me to trip and fall into sin, it would be better for them to have a huge stone hurt around their necks and be drowned in the bottom of the lake." Whenever I hear these words of Jesus, I cringe because I can hardly believe that Jesus would say such things. But I think of how Jesus, how serious he must have been to say these words. That whatever we do in church, we do it because we love people. And if we do anything that crosses that line, if we forget that we do those things because we do them for God, we are causing people to sin. Now, before we make fun of the Catholics for being so stuck in their old ways, I'm sure we do things that we think are important, and we think people must do it that way, but then forget why we do them in the first place. I know as a pastor that every Sunday morning when I come to church, I always make sure that I have on these pretty stoles. But you know, when these stoles were first introduced in the church, what do they stand for? They stood for yokes, these things that you put on cows so that they will pull the plow behind them. That these things are heavy things on pastors' necks to remind them that we are here to love you, to serve you. This is not here on my neck so that I can look pretty, or that I can announce to you that we are in the Pentecost season with the green. Yet, even for us pastors, it is so easy for us to forget why we put this on every Sunday. That if we realized that we are carrying, we're hoping to carry together with you the burdens of your life, maybe there are things that we wouldn't say that we think we should say. Maybe there are things that we wouldn't do when we think we can still do them, because we remember that we have these as a reminder. It is so easy to get caught up in patterns of doing things, especially in institutions, when we feel that whatever we do is so important. Well, Jesus found that. That he was true in his time too. He was beginning to preach that God's kingdom was here, that God's good jubilee, year of change was here. But in the scriptures, we find that Jesus was constantly fighting people, debating with people about the meaning of Sabbath. It wasn't that Jesus didn't believe in Sabbath, because we find records of Jesus going away days at a time to take rest, to pray, to fast, to find God's will for his life. Jesus considered Sabbath God's gift, because the rabbis had taught that on Sabbath day, God himself comes down and dwells with his people. And the rabbis also taught that on Sabbath day is like the future messianic age, the utopia that is coming for us, heaven, that this is the day when heaven comes on earth. This is the day when we pull the future into the present. This was the day we practiced what heaven would be like, Jesus was saying. But what did Jesus find on Sabbath day? Instead of everyone becoming what they were meant to be, true human beings, here in the synagogue, people were divided into men and women, into people who are well and sick, into Gentiles and Jews, into people who are accepted and rejected. Instead of freeing everyone, here there were people who were bound for 18 years, unseen, invisible in the congregation. Instead of everyone being recognized for carrying the image of God in them, here, it was privilege. Some people were good enough to praise God, or others had to stand aside. So we meet this man, this woman, unnamed, and three times it is repeated that she was disabled, sick, for 18 years. We are reminded that she was bent over and that there was no way that she could straighten up her back. Funny thing is, Luke says that she appeared out of nowhere. She had always been there for 18 years. Like Haley and her mom, she had come to church, come to the synagogue. Yet in everybody's eyes, she wasn't seen, but that day, Jesus saw her. And he called attention to her and said, "Come, come to the center of the church." And Jesus says three things to her. He said, "Today, you are freed. You are Abraham's daughter. I affirm who you are." And then he gave the blessing. He laid his hands on her. And then suddenly, she was straight up and said, she started praising God. For Jesus, that was the purpose of Sabbath, that each person be able to become what they were meant to be as God's child, to praise God, to become wholesome, to be healthy as they can be, to be partnering with God to bring peace and harmony to this earth. Jesus wasn't debating with his contemporaries about whether you must rest 5 hours or 2 minutes or 15 hours. Rather, it was about wanting to go back to the basics of recovering what Sabbath meant in the first place. See, for Jesus, God is still at work. In John 5:17, Jesus says, "My God, my Father is still working, and I am working too, because there is so much suffering and people bent over, people who are not able to straighten up." For Jesus, Sabbath meant that we are called to free each one, for each one of us to be freed to do God's work. Isn't that why we are here this morning? Because God has freed us, set us free, help us to look up, enable us to do what we could not do before by ourselves. Before, I could not forgive, but now. Before, I would never have thought that I was a leader, but now. Before, I could never see myself as important or having a purpose, but now. Before, I never thought I had anything to give, but now. Before, I didn't think I could love or receive love, but now. Jesus has done wonderful things for us, and I'm so glad that we can come to this church and be part of this church family and to realize that there are people watching us, praying for us, caring for us. Perhaps there are some of us here who feel today that I am still bent over. I'm tied down and not free. And I want to stand up straight and praise God. Well, Jesus says, today is God's time. Today is your time. God wants to give us his moment, his eternity in our daily lives. Just like the women, our condition, our situation, our circumstance, our prayers are known by Jesus. Perhaps others in this place don't recognize that because they cannot see our hearts. Yet God does. God wants us to be unbound. to be standing, to be able to see yourself as who you are meant to be. This morning, I'm going to invite us to pray. James will be singing Come Sunday, and that's a wonderful song, isn't it? Reminding us that Sunday is our Sabbath. And as he sings, reach out to someone next to you if you need a special prayer, and have that person pray with you that this day we may be able to receive God's blessing, we may be freed, and that this day our church may be freed and open to see where God is leading us into the future, so that we will not be so stuck, but that we may be able, with Jesus, see God's kingdom right in the midst of us. See God's kingdom in our hearts, beginning to grow, beginning to blossom. Come Sunday.
Lord, dear Lord above, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through. Lord, dear Lord above, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through. God put sun and moon up in the sky. I don't mind the gray skies, 'cause they're just clouds passing by. He'll give you peace and comfort to ease your troubled mind. Come Sunday, oh, come Sunday, that's the day. Often we get weary, but he knows our every care. Go to him in secret and he'll hear your every prayer. Up from dawn till sunset, you work hard all the day. Come Sunday, oh, come Sunday, that's the day.
Let us pray to our sovereign God, saying, God of mercy, hear our prayer.